Hey, Sally here. I have a very special episode for you today, and I want to start it off by playing you a little clip from it. In this clip, you're going to hear from a mom who was just about to discover that they might need to get their son checked out. Here we go.
We attended a birthday party. We were invited, attended a birthday party. I remember it was December. And, you know, so many kids. You know how birthday parties are. I remember when we went into that house, you know, everyone was like, his name is Yaron. So he's like, Yaron! He was not able to handle that. He said, running towards the door. So I just, you know, held him, hugged him, and told him, it's okay. Then I told everybody, please, he doesn't like attention. So you guys mind your own business and you can greet him as, you know, as he warms up and all that. So I remember since when he went out, he refused to come into the house. So you can imagine we were there. I was there with my nanny and my other kids and now my second born, and everything was okay. And then the cake cutting came and the music was turned on. Hey, that was the first time I saw him having a meltdown. You see, all this time he was just pacing outside. He ate outside, he played. Like, if anyone wanted to talk to him, he had to come. He refused completely to get into the main house. So that was not a problem. But when the music was turned on and everyone was like, happy birthday, you know, shouting, and he couldn't. He took off. He took off, went straight to the gate. Like, he wanted to get out of that place. He was covering now his ears, screaming. Like, you could see the pain. And so, yeah, so he just sat there, cried and cried and cried. I was just there, you know, holding him, trying as much as you can to calm him. But you see, when someone is a meltdown, there's really nothing much you can do. So I just, you know, held him, stayed there. He cried and cried and cried. And all he wanted was, you know, we need to get out. Let's go home. Let's go home. Let's go home. Let's go home. And we had to go home.
In today's episode, we are going to get into why Hassan was struggling at that party. This is the fourth episode of the Holiday Survival Guide series I have been running on helping parents navigate the sometimes crazy and overwhelming holiday season. And today, we are going to go into how parents with kids on the spectrum handle the holidays and all that comes with it. This is Mama Tills, a podcast on our collective motherhood journey. I'm your host, Sally Kuria. The mom from the clip I just played is Dr. Lema, a pediatrician.
I'm a mom of three, and my eldest son, who is 9 turning 10, has developmental challenges, precisely autism. He's on the spectrum.
I asked her onto the podcast because I wanted to understand her experience as a mom with a child on the spectrum. Finding out that he was on the spectrum was not a one-day thing.
Well, it's not, oh my God, it was such a bad way of discovering. Okay, so I got my firstborn when I was already a pediatrician. So after, you know, getting my child, the first year milestones, all of them were pretty okay, except for speech. Actually, speech was the only thing that was a bit delayed with him. And also, I noticed that he has these very different interests, but you know, I kept on telling myself, our kids are different, you know, we are all different, we don't need to like the same toys, we don't need to like playing with everybody, yeah, you know. Yeah, yeah. And him being the firstborn, you know, we always have this excuse of it's because he's surrounded by adults, so that's why, you know, he's behaving the way he's behaving. So 1 year came, his first birthday came, and he was okay. I remember in his birthday, we brought him toys. You know, no more toys that should, you know, you'll buy a child who was just turned 1 year. And he was not amused by those toys. Okay, that was a bit of a concern, but again, you know, you brush it off. So what he really liked at that time was a tape measure, a drum, and sticks, like these straight objects. So he kept on collecting those. So that's what he would consider to be toys. and blocks, these the building blocks. Then fast forward the second birthday. So during this whole time, he started talking, but he was talking gibberish. Like he will say something and then maybe he'll just pick one or two things in the mix of all those things that he's saying. But most of what he was saying, he was really not making any sense. Then when he turned two, now it was really becoming a concern because he was not able to express himself. You'd call him, he would not respond. So he started also having these hand flaps as well. So now it started becoming more and more evident that, okay, we are actually having developmental issues. Mm-hmm. Then, you know, what really broke us was we attended a birthday party. We were invited, attended a birthday party. I remember it was December. And You know, so many kids, you know how birthday parties are. I remember when we went into that house, you know, everyone was like, his name is Yaron. So he's like, Yaron, hey, he was not able to handle that. He said, running towards the door. So I just, you know, held him, hugged him, and told him, it's okay. Then I told everybody, please, he doesn't like attention. So you guys mind your own business and you can greet him as, you know, as he warms up and all that. So I remember since when he went out, he refused to come into the house. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine we were there. I was there with my nanny and my other kids and now my second born. And everything was okay. And then the cake cutting came and the music was turned on. Hey! That was the first time I saw him having a meltdown. You see, all this time he was just pacing outside. He ate outside. He played. Like, if anyone wanted to talk to him, he had to come. He refused completely to get into the main house. So that was not a problem. But when the music was turned on and everyone was like, happy birthday, you know, shouting, and he couldn't. He took off. Wow. He took off, went straight to the gate. Like, he wanted to get out of that place. He was covering now his ears, screaming. Like, you could see the pain. And so, yeah, so he just sat there, cried and cried and cried. I was just there, you know, holding him, trying as much as you can to calm him. But you see, when someone is in a meltdown, there's really nothing much you can do. So I just, you know, held him, stayed there. He cried and cried and cried. And all he wanted was, you know, we need to get out. Let's go home. Let's go home. Let's go home. Let's go home. And we had to go home. Yeah. So, you know, I had to get my other son. He was young, very young. He was, you know, a baby, an infant. And told my nanny, okay, I think this is it. We had to wait to eat the cake. So we left. Yeah. So, yeah. So after that, then I was like, okay, I think you can't hide. Just go. Just go. Just go. Just go get a diagnosis. Yeah. So, yeah. Gathered courage. Because, yeah, as much as you see it staring at you, but, you know, it's a whole different game when someone tells you actually your son is on the spectrum or your daughter is on the spectrum. Yeah. We went with the father. And, yeah, the diagnosis was made. You know, it feels like this cold ice that has just, you know, like you've just dipped your body into this pool of cold ice. And now you're wondering, so what? Like, what next? What are we going to do? Yeah. This is our first child. You remember, it's the son before him who passed on. Now it's now this one. You were told, okay, he's on the spectrum. And I was like, oh my God, like, should things happen this way? You know, you cry to God, ask him all sorts of questions, no answers. Then I just told myself, you know what, I'm a pediatrician. At least I can read and understand. So I take it up that way.
Yeah.
So read, research. Like, literally, after seeing my son going anything, I go to sit. Why is he behaving this way? Why is he doing this way? How can I help him? So yeah, so that has been the journey.
Yeah.
Autism is a developmental disorder that affects how people behave, interact, or their ability to communicate. Because it covers a wide range of symptoms and severity, it is a spectrum disorder, meaning one person can experience it differently from the other. Early signs of autism can be noticed by parents in the early years of a child's life, more commonly between the age of 2 to 3 years old.
The sign to show that your child is in the spectrum.
This is Agnes, a teacher, a speech and occupational therapist who specializes with kids on the spectrum.
There are so many because one, there are kids who don't have social skills. Actually, social skill is number one. Child who just wants to be alone, so they are not participating with other children. So that one will be a number one sign. Also speech, if the child doesn't have the speech, they have delayed speech, which delayed speech doesn't mean that the child is in the spectrum, but it's also number two sign. Then the third thing, you'll find that the child is regressing. Maybe they had achieved a certain milestone and all of a sudden they go back to where they were before. So that one also can help you. We also have children who have chewing issues. You see, they can't chew, they have feeding issues. And we also have children who have learning difficulties completely. Like you find they're very good in maybe, let's say, numeracy skills, but when it comes to language, it's just hard for them.
Other signs include inability of making eye contact, difficulty tolerating changes in routines or new experiences, being overly focused on niche subjects or on something that others do not typically care too much about. And of course, there's a stereotypical movements, such as hand flapping, rocking, or spinning. After getting their diagnosis, Dr. Lema started trying to figure out how best to manage their son and get him the help that he needs. Autism doesn't have a cure, but with a lot of patience, families can manage the symptoms and support a child's development of necessary life skills. After some time, they were able to get into a rhythm, but there are moments that are harder than usual. One of them being the holidays.
So actually, no, that's usually one of the challenges when it comes to Christmas. It's been a while since we, I would say in the first 3-4 years of his life, maybe 5, we really never used to have plans for Christmas. Mm. Simply because it was not easy. I remember there was a time we went to check in our hotel. He couldn't sleep. It's a new environment. The bed is not his. So he cried. He was up the whole night. We came back the following day. Because for us, it was like, you know, let's go for, why is this? He'll just be why is this? Exactly. Why are we here? Yes. But right now, he loves the beach. You know, he'll look forward to all these things. Yeah. So for parents who have children who are on the spectrum, if you're in the younger years, just be very patient. So the first thing I'll say is simplify your life, please.
Yeah.
Just simplify. Make it simple. Now, autism is a spectrum disorder. So not all kids will have the same challenges. It's quite wide. And so if you know your child is the one who just cannot accept change, and most autistic kids can't, like for them routine is key. And it doesn't matter if it's a new year or it's Christmas or it's just another Monday, the routine has to be followed. Because for them, a Christmas is just a day, you know. People are happy and all that, but for them, it's just another day that has 24 hours and tomorrow will come, you know.
Away from that change of routine and environments, dealing with extended family and friends is something that comes with this time of year. Here are some tips from her on handling this.
So this is what, again, simplify. Know your child. Do you know how your child processes? Because this is the first question I always ask the parents. Do you know how your child processes their senses? 1, 2, do you know what they do to regulate those senses? So for example, if the issue is, like as you say, sitting and standing or pacing, when you see that, what comes to mind? Is it just a child that is being rebellious, like they just don't want to sit? Or are they communicating something is actually wrong in that particular space you are in? Okay, and wrong not necessarily in our definition, but in his definition, something is not okay. Yeah, because we call that steaming. And what do you do? Because what we advocate for is when you see a child doing that, don't stop them. Because if you stop that, something worse is going to happen. Because their brain is not figuring things out. Mm. That's why it has to do what it has to do. Yeah. So if you know you're a parent who has a child on the spectrum and you have, you know, all these parties to attend. So the first thing is, do those people know you have a child who's on the spectrum? Mm. Yeah. Because if it's functions, if you're hosting, you know, it's a family together, maybe you're invited for, you know, Christmas lunch or, you know. Make sure those people know you actually have a child on the spectrum. Yeah. Make it known. That's the first thing. And as a parent, it's your responsibility to be able to know, how does my child process their senses? How does my child regulate themselves? Mm-hmm. How do I know when my child is overwhelmed? Mm-hmm. Because just after an overload, that's when a meltdown comes. Mm-hmm. When you cross over to a meltdown, there's nothing you can do. They have to go through the whole thing. It can take a whole hour. Wow. Of them being jittery, throwing things, making noise, whatever the way they would want to express their emotions. Mm-hmm. So before you get there, what are the telltale signs that you as a parent need to observe that, okay, when my son is like this, if, for example, for my son, I know when he starts pacing, so usually he'll start pacing, mm-hmm. he starts fidgeting, like you'll see him keep on doing this. He also has echolalia where he repeats he repeats conversations he has had before. Yeah. Very interesting. Imagine, it's like he has a tape recorder in his ear.
Wow.
And it's a level of speech and language development. But it's very interesting. Because if you want to know what happened in school, you just sit close to him and you'll hear him having this back and forth conversation. Gosh. Yeah. And he'll do it to the detail of tones, fluctuations, and bays, and yeah. So you'll know it's two people talking anyway. So for him, that will be heightened. Mm-hmm. So whenever I see that, so I always tell him, Yaron, come and give you a hug. Or Yaron, let's go out for a walk before it really multiplies. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those are the things. Now, you see, for him, he has speech. So, and then I know how he's not as sensitive. So I can comfortably hug him. I can comfortably tell him, let's go out. Now, if you're having a toddler who doesn't have speech yet and all that, you should be able to, if you're going into a new place, just ask, do you have a place? We call it a comfort space with comfort belongings. So this is like a space that you designate specifically whenever you see your child getting overwhelmed. Go to that corner, and in that corner, put familiar things, things you carry from home. Mm-hmm. Could be steam toys, fidgeting toys. So you put them there so that when he gets to that space, it's safer, it's calmer, and be with your child for as long as you want. Even if that will be it, like once you get there, he'll not want to get back. Well, that's just the way it is. Accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's another one. Then the other one is, you don't need to go to each and every function. I always tell myself as well. I also have issues with meeting a lot of people at the same time. I also get overworked. Mm. So a time like Christmas, as much as we may meet new people, but if you're hosting, a Christmas lunch should be for people who are with you throughout the year. I think that's what I think. You shouldn't be, you know, really, you're not new people, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But I know in our setting, especially in our African setting, where it's us going to Ocha, to Ushago, you'll meet all kinds of new people. Yes. You will meet all kinds of new people. So that means as a parent who has a child on this spectrum, you need to be able to protect your child. Like your child doesn't have to greet all uncles and aunties as they come, mm-hmm. no. If he's in the mood, then that's okay. If he's not in the mood, because now your immediate family knows your child is different, please let it not, you know, don't get hard feelings that, I don't know, she was not able to greet grandma's who, and now they're, no, please, yeah. Don't catch.
Yeah.
It is, I mean, you're not the one controlling this child. It's the child to decide. Mm. Yeah. So if somebody come into the house and they say, go say hi to him, and then he says no, that's a complete sentence. Just let them be. You don't need to force and start, oh, CG, what? Because I know some people make all these types of comments.
Yeah.
And that's the time you, as the parent, please step up and advocate for your child. Because they should be able to understand not all children are the same.
Yeah.
The other kids will easily come and say hi, even when they don't want to, but they can easily come and say hi just for the sake of peace. But the child on the spectrum, if it's a no, it's a no. And so, you cannot change that.
Mm.
And the best thing is don't try. Because you'll embarrass yourself and this guy will go into a meltdown and it's going to be a whole thing.
Yeah.
See, and people will be like, anakata kusalimia ndo analia hivyo, you know. But it's not just kulia. This is a whole new dimension.
Preparing both the child and the children who are going to interact with them are also key things to consider during this time, according to Agnes.
This one you practice before, like maybe you bring people to your home, maybe the cousins, the aunties, maybe you just invite them maybe for sleepover, and then you try to interact so that even when you travel and maybe you'll be having the same cousins, now the child is like, oh, I was with you. You know, even if they won't be able to say it, they will remember I was with my cousin and now I'm still playing with my cousin. So now that reduces the anxiety. Yeah, you can also train them on how to interact with your child, because you find like most of the kids who are in the spectrum, they also don't have social skills. So it's good to explain earlier to your to the cousin, to the relatives, so that they can know. And then you can show them what they do. Like maybe let's say your child likes riding a bike. So when you interact now, your relative like helping your child to ride a bike, now they get so used and it is not now a new thing to them because it's what they like, so they enjoy doing it.
As a parent, I have come to appreciate how much grace we need to extend each other. You might meet a child at the supermarket mid-meltdown and jump into your own conclusions. Conversations with moms like Dr. Lema helped me understand that being quick to judge or penalizing someone for handling their kids in a different manner than you would is not only short-sighted, but might end up harming them. One of the last things I asked Agnes was to share some tips on how parents should handle the autism diagnosis and how best to navigate moments that come with it.
First, accept that the child is in the spectrum, because we've met so many parents who don't want to accept. They are like, oh, my child is autistic, but not really. You know, just accept it. Because if you accept it, you are able to get help. Number two, interact with the teacher, the school, and the therapist. Let it be a team for your child to know that she or he, they have security surrounding them. There are people who love me. There are people who trust me. And that makes them even to progress more, because your nanny is involved. The teacher is involved. The school environment is okay for the child. And also you make it a team. And that makes them even to progress very easily. Also, number three, provide the necessary support. If maybe like now when we teach the kids at school, we always tell the parent, oh, you need blocks. You need to bring these. Just participate. Accept it. Do it with all your heart. Just invest in your child, because if you invest in them, you'll get progress. So by providing all the materials that they need, like I have one parent who is very, very good. You tell her, we need books. She brings more than you needed. We need toys. She brings more, you know. And that child is progressing day by day, and we are very happy because we work as a team. So those are the best tips that you can do. You ensure that you understand your child. You understand their environment and also the house girl. Also, we have something like diet. The diet that you are given by the therapist, follow it. If they say no sugar, no wheat, no what, just follow it, because it will give you good results. If they say you don't have to follow a diet, just take your child outside to play, just do it. Don't just let your child be in the house, because you need to work. You give them the phone so they can be watching movies as you work in your laptop. No, you better even hire somebody to just play with your child. So once you are able to comprehend to such things, it always gives you good results.
That's it for today's episode. I want to thank Agnes for lending her voice and expertise to this episode. I also want to thank Dr. Naima Lema for taking time to sit with me and share her story. What I shared with you today is only a small part of her story, and I plan on releasing her full one in the coming episodes. Her story is one of resilience and courage, especially when it came to figuring out things that we take for granted, for example, finding the right school for your child. I think I'll also be sharing the full conversation with Agnes, because her experience with working with kids on the spectrum will definitely provide some much-needed guidance to parents who find themselves in this situation. If you're worried that your child might be on the spectrum, it is advised to get them assessed by professionals. There are many ways you can do this. Centers like Gertrude's Hospital or KISE, that's the Kenyan Institute of Special Education, might be a good start. Dr. Naima Lema has also offered to link up with any of you should you need it. She is a certified autism specialist, and you can check out her work on autismvoicesforchildren.com or reach out to me if you need any assistance. We're just about to come to the end of the Holiday Survival Guide series with one more episode left. That episode will be coming out on the 26th of December, aka Boxing Day. In that episode, I'll be sharing some things that I started out this year worrying about, but in hindsight, I probably shouldn't have. I won't be doing it alone. A number of you have chimed in and shared your own worries, so that will be a really nice episode to get into. As you can imagine, I will be working through the holidays somewhat, so if you want to keep up with me and everything that will be going on in the Mama Tales world, make sure to join us on Instagram and TikTok at Mama Tales Podcast, or on my own page on Instagram, that's at Sally Mugure. I will also be resuming story recordings mid-January. So if you'd love to share a story on your motherhood experience, we would love to hear it. Just let me know by filling in the form in the show notes. Remember, you can also provide support to this podcast by sharing it with your friends, someone that you think would find value in it, and by definitely monetary contributions. You can find out how you can do this in the show notes of this episode. Any amount will be highly appreciated. Happy holidays, fam, and safe travels to all of you traveling this season. I also know that this is probably the busiest time for parents with young kids. All I want to say is just hang in there, try living the moment, and make as many memories as possible. However, if you can take a minute or two to just breathe and calm yourself, please do that. I think that should be a priority. Catch you here again next week. Bye.